This is Canadian Wealth Wisdom by Tridel to Private Wealth. My name is Kyle Taylor, and I'm joined by Jay Birnbaum, Senior Insurance Advisor with Tridelta. Jay has been an insurance advisor for many years and has worked on several unique cases, which has allowed him to work with a wide variety of clients. Jay uses his insurance expertise to help educate Canadians on the world of insurance and match their needs to the correct policies to ensure each client is properly protected. Welcome, Jay.
Morning, Kyle.
Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
The purpose of this conversation is to answer really important questions many Canadians may have around insurance and how they should go about matching where they are in life with the type of insurance policies they may need. Now, you and I know very well that there's no one size fits all for these types of solutions. So we will look at to provide general information and would encourage anyone listening to reach out for more information on how they specifically can integrate insurance into their financial plan. Now, getting to the topic at hand, Jay, can you provide a high level of what you would say the major life stages are for Canadians?
Sure. So having been in the business for about 20 years, you sort of learn after many years that different stages of life, different ages of people warrant different types of insurance policies, if you will, different structures. Sometimes it's the same, but more often than not, it's not, because no two people are the same. Everyone's different and there's different structures available. So for example, you know, you might have, for kids, not specifically, a young child is not going out and buying their own policy, but I've met with many people where we're going through their insurance and they'll say in their 20s or 30s or 40s even and say, oh yeah, by the way, I have this policy. My folks got it for me when I was little. I think there's some cash value in there. I don't understand what that means. Can you explain it to me? So I'll deal with that. And then moving on, you know, you might have people who are in their 20s and 30s who are maybe newly married. We're looking for a home or single looking for a home, new parents, if you will, that sort of a stage, if you know, in that respect, you know, and then as you get older, there's certain types of insurance policies that are structured when they're younger. But for example, term insurance, you know, that thing runs for a period of time. But after that period of time's up, the price increases significantly. So what do people do? And that could drop somebody into their 40s or their 50s, which could leave a big hole. So we like to make sure that people are protected when they're younger, so they don't have to worry about that when they're older. But the reality is that things do change throughout life, and things do change, you know, within those decades, if you will. So you might have somebody, you know, going back to your question, you might have somebody between, you know, 40 and 60 who may need a different type of policy versus somebody who's between 20 and 35. You might have somebody who is 70 plus, and yes, people 70 plus are still insurable potentially, who may have a completely different need to somebody who just had their first child. So there's a real cross-section of ages and stages, if you will, of the insurance life cycle.
And I want to get into a hypothetical example, but before I do that, I want to ask, is there a point for someone where it's no longer worth considering because of age?
Depends. I mean, when someone is, you know, in their 80s, there is the potential to a certain part, but it may be for a different purpose. It might be more for tax planning, estate planning. There's a few different variables that are looked upon for older people, or mature people, I should say. But it really just depends on, you know, if there's a need for it at that stage. And it's all determined with a lot of questions. I tend to ask a lot of questions because you can't explain something back to somebody unless you know about them per se.
Certainly. And again, there's a lot of information and no one is the same. So there's never going to be a one size fits all for an individual or for a couple, for a family. But I want to begin with a hypothetical young family who we'll name John and Jane. John and Jane are both in their late 20s and recently had a child. And many new parents may have the question over how I ensure my young family is protected. What would you do in this type of situation?
So typically when I meet with people of any age, but especially with the people that are first looking at insurance, I go through my role. So I explain, you know, what does a broker do? I have access to pretty much every insurance company in Canada, which is a great benefit because it saves these people having to call every insurance company in Canada or run quotes with every different insurance company in Canada online. I'm able to go to one piece of software that's updated all the time and find the right price based on a person's age, smoking status, gender, the product type, and the amount of insurance we're looking at. And then from there, I can see which company is the best one to match up with their needs and then figure it out from there.
Are there any considerations for a young couple that you would bring up to them that maybe they are or are not considering themselves? Something around, you know, having a new child, should they take out a policy on the child, you know, childcare considerations if one of them were to die prematurely?
The notion of the, and I mentioned it before, but the notion of the what if comes up a lot, because yeah. what if something happens? A lot of people feel they're infallible. Nothing's going to happen to them. They're going to live a long, healthy life and everything will be fine. Unfortunately, it's not the reality. Things do happen to young people also. So I always mention those things as well. I mean, you paint the rosy picture. A friend of mine years ago said, when he used to talk a lot about insurance, would said, oh, here comes the storm clouds. Because the reality is you need to mitigate against the what ifs, and the what ifs may not be great. So when speaking with younger people that may be looking at insurance for the first time, I always like to mention these things, not to scare them, but to give them the reality of things. If they have young children, more often than not, they might bring up, should I insure my child? Like, is that a thing? In which case I'll go and explain, you know, what types of products are available for the kids that are there. But primarily a lot of them may do that, but a lot of them want to make sure that if there's certain budgets as well, that they're protecting themselves, that if something happens to one of the parents, if you will, then there's something there to keep the lights on for the kids, for the significant other that's left behind, pay for mortgages, pay for RESPs, pay for diapers and wipes and all the other things that are needed when one person is not there to help out. The other thing I often mention also is, you know, people will say, well, I have a mortgage and it's $500,000, so let me just get a $500,000 policy. I work a little bit differently in how I figure out how much insurance somebody should get, because a lot of the time people overlook how much they make. So if someone's making $100,000 a year, for example, or $75,000 a year, whatever that is, whatever that number happens to be, if somebody passes away prematurely, that money's gone, it's not coming back. So we have to figure out how much insurance is needed, not just to take care of the family for year one, but year two, year three, year four, and even further down the line, to make sure that there's enough money there to make up for the lost income year after year after year.
Mm-hmm. No, that's a really good point. And one of the questions I wanted to ask for this cohort as well, which you know, I tend to bring up a lot with young couples and individuals, is around mortgage insurance. Mm-hmm. When people are looking at getting a mortgage, often they get approached by the bank that's doing the mortgage saying, hey, you need mortgage insurance.
Right.
Whereas I know from our side of things, often that's not the best solution for them. Can you speak at all to that?
Sure. So I get that a lot. Mortgage insurance, it's a product that's offered typically by the lenders where the features are not the same as life insurance. I mean, yes, it does pay out, but what happens is when a person applies for that type of product, number one, it's called decreasing term. So meaning if a person has a $500,000 mortgage and they're paying $100 a month, for example, the mortgage then years later, the mortgage is down to $300,000 and they're still paying the same premium, but let's say something happens to one person where they pass away. So the mortgage is covered, whatever the decreased value is. Meanwhile, they're still paying that same higher premium. That's number one. Number two is there's no cash in hand for the beneficiaries. So yeah, you have a paid up house. And that's great. But what about the other things that you need? For example, the property taxes are still need to get paid. If you have kids at home, they still need stuff to be paid for. Essentially, the lights have to stay on. And you might have a house, but you might not be able to keep the lights on. Mm-hmm. So that's why that's one area. The other thing is there's something called post-claim underwriting. This kind of scares me because a lot of the time when a person applies for mortgage insurance, they'll have a few questions asked by the mortgage rep. And if something is answered no, let's say years later, the answer was incorrect or whatever the case may be, they file the claim after the event happens. So if it doesn't line up with that application and the information is incorrect, there's a possibility they could deny that claim. I haven't seen it yet, but I've seen shows about it and it's not pretty.
Yeah, no, it's certainly a consideration that I think a lot of young couples should make, and rather than just kind of going through the bank process, right?
Yes. Oh, and price-wise, we are usually less.
Yeah, depending on the fair enough. So as this couple, John and Jane, progress in life, let's assume now they're in their mid-30s, have acquired a home with a large mortgage, and have only basic insurance coverage through their employment. We will assume they don't have any new health considerations, but how do you typically approach this new stage now that they're in their mid-30s?
And they're working for a company?
Yeah, we'll say they're working for a company, they're making a decent income, but you know, there's other considerations now, kids are a bit older, they've got a large mortgage, maybe some competing priorities around saving for retirement and making sure that they're protected.
Right. So I mean, insurance is one of those things that it should be a consistent thing in someone's life, at any stage, if you will, for the most part. When people work for a, you know, I've come across a lot of people where they're interested in insurance, but their rebuttal might be, well, I have group insurance, so that should be fine. So, you know, if you walk through sort of the standard group insurance, you know, and I do group insurance as well. So, you know, just to let you know that when someone has a group, it might cover, you know, one time income or two times income. And that's pretty much it, depending on the company and what they're willing to give. So if somebody has a $100,000 salary and they get one time income and they pass away while they're working at that company, the family gets $100,000. That's it. Maybe not even enough to cover off the mortgage or any other debt for that matter. So even though they're working for a company, it's a nice to have, but I always encourage having a separate life insurance policy so that they can have something to fall back if they leave the company one day, if they're on their own one day, if they become self-employed, if they're let go, you know, so there's always that fail safe or that parachute, as I like to talk about, that's there if they're not with the company anymore.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you see this as well, but I find with a lot of people who are in this stage of life or even a bit older is you ask them about insurance and they say, oh, well, I'm covered through work. But then you try to go a little bit deeper and they're not really totally familiar with the benefits there. You know, one of the things that I raise with some clients is, like, do you know the difference between CI and disability? Because they might say they have disability through work. Is there any comments that you would have on that and what they should look at and make sure that what they have is actually right for them?
So two different products. Mm-hmm. There's a tiny bit of overlap, but you know, if somebody has usually people have disability insurance through work. Critical illness can be, you know, it can get sometimes a little bit more. So some companies may not offer that at a larger corporations. But a lot do. You know, it's hard to say, you know, what company has and what doesn't. But you know, with disability insurance, that pays out a portion of a person's income. Usually don't go above 66% of a person's income. So if someone's making, you know, $100,000 a year, the most they're going to give you is $66,000, not taking into account a bunch of other factors, but they'll give you that divided by 12 months, and that's what they'll pay you until you're able to get back to work. It may not last forever. It might just be for a couple of years. Depends on the terms of the policy through work. Whereas critical illness insurance covers off illnesses. So if someone's injured and they break both their legs and they're in construction and they can't work and they have disability and it lasts for a certain period of time, then yeah, they could very well get that claim. But once they're able to get back to work, the money stops coming in. Critical illness is different where it's a lump sum. So someone's diagnosed with something, the big three, cancer, heart attack, and stroke, there's about 20 plus illnesses under there, lots of different things that are covered. But if somebody does file a claim for that, and let's say they have a $200,000 policy, that it'll pay out $200,000 tax-free, do with it whatever you want. But in that particular case, depending on how it's structured, it's pretty much a one-and-done type of thing.
Hmm. So as we move on, John and Jane are now 55. They're doing well financially, thinking about retirement more, but they're also unsure if they are protected enough as they enter the final decade of their careers. This may be a good opportunity to step back from John and Jane because, especially as people get older, we know that the conversations can change significantly depending on if the individual or a couple has had the insurance conversation throughout their life or if it's all new to them. So maybe in the first scenario with a family who have had the insurance conversations throughout the years, is there anything you would look to review with them in this new stage of their life?
Definitely. I always say insurance is one of those things that should match up life changes or life events. Someone has a kid, how much insurance do you have? Someone ups their mortgage, how much insurance do you have? Do you have enough to protect it? Someone makes more money, do you have enough insurance to offset the amount if someone's gone? Will that insurance be in line with how much is available to replace that lost income? So the other thing to note is when you're in your 50s, someone had term insurance only in their 30s, and it's a 20-year term, it's coming due. And it's coming due at a very high premium. So a lot of people might look and say, well, what do I do? Do I just let it go? But then there's going to be a huge hole with no insurance coverage. So at that point, we'd look at maybe some permanent insurance or some term. Maybe blending it, and that's something that I do bring up as well for the younger people too. But we also look at things like where are the kids? How old are they? Do any of those children need lifelong protection? Maybe there's something that occurred where they need something where a child requires assistance even at older ages. They're always going to need something. That would also dictate what type of insurance product may be available for them. So there's a lot of different factors that are looked at. And not to mention, at that age, a lot of people are now starting to look at, let's say, estate planning. They want to make sure that if they're investing or they have properties or cottages or whatever, that the more you have, the more tax you pay. And not to get too deep into the wood, into the weeds, but when something happens to people, they could leave behind a big tax bill. And that could get stuck with the kids. And if you have kids who are, let's say, 30s or 40s, who are dealing with their own stuff, they're dealing with their kids, they're dealing with their own family members, if you will. All of a sudden, parents are gone, and here's a tax bill for a few a few hundred thousand bucks. Where's it coming from? So now they have to think, well, maybe I need to refinance my house, or maybe I need to downsize just to cover off mom and dad's tax bill. So those are things that a lot of parents don't want to have to leave behind, mm-hmm. and therefore they put in some type of an insurance policy to make sure that it's there to alleviate the financial stress that could come about from the kids down the road.
Certainly, and the earlier you can have that conversation with you know, someone like yourself, or even in looping in your kids as well, the better, right?
Definitely.
So in the next scenario, though, let's assume that this couple, or any couple for that matter, have not had the insurance conversation yet throughout their lives, and this is all new to them. Now, maybe they've been rolling over a term 10 or 20 life insurance policy, and they have that coming up for renewal, as you just referred to, in the next few years. They haven't really given much thought to the role of insurance that it may play in their later years, but they have family and friends in poor health, which have made them worried about their protection. What would you tell a couple in this situation at this stage in their life?
I've dealt with many people in that world where they might not have insurance. All of a sudden they're in their 50s and they realize, I never had insurance. I got this far, but maybe I should consider it, because I am seeing peers and friends and family get diagnosed with stuff. And that happens. You know, people at that stage of life tend to have things that come about. It's never too late to have the insurance topic or the insurance discussion, if you will. There's always room for that. I'm dealing with people all the time where they've never had insurance before. They're in their 50s. They might say to themselves, oh my God, I'm a terrible person. I've never done it before. What if something happened to me? I worry about it. And now it's becoming real because I'm seeing people around me that are getting affected with life instances, and I'm not protected. So what can we do at that stage? And at that stage, it's just really a matter of walking them through what's available to them, what some of the product options are. The products are the same. It's just really a matter of figuring out what's the best fit and what's the best match for a person's needs at the time, what their budget might look like, what their financial situation might look like at any age. So 50s especially, because a lot of the time they might feel like they want each spouse to protect each other. You know, at that stage, the kids might be in university, they might be out of university, they might be doing their own thing, they might be working, making their own income. And people might say, or parents might say in their 50s, well, I don't need insurance anymore. But the reality is they do. Because what if a significant other passes? Where does that leave the other one? And unfortunately, I've seen around many situations where people don't have insurance. They're in their 50s. And 50s not old. I mean, I'm early 50s, so I can say that. But it's not old by any stretch. There's still a long way to go to the statistical life expectancy of your 80s and 90s, if you will. So going back to answer the question, it's never too late to have that discussion. And it's encouraged to have that discussion, because if there's no insurance and something happens to one person, where's the other one going to sit and what's going to happen? Will they have to sell their home? Will they have to dig into their finances? Will they have to get hit with a massive tax bill? So these are just a few of the things that come about when discussing or when having that conversation.
Do you ever get the comments, it's too expensive?
I do. Sometimes it can be, but you know, I always look at insurance, especially of a permanent nature, where it's guaranteed. So it's not like you're paying for something and it's not going to go anywhere. You're paying into a product that's guaranteed to pay out at some stage, either in 3 years later after a person has insurance if something happens prematurely, or way down the road when they're sitting in their 80s or 90s and they have this permanent policy that will always be there to pay out. So the question does come up, but it's a matter of value and importance to a family and a situation.
So again, for our purposes here, maybe let's assume this couple or this hypothetical couple is 63 and retired. Again, there's different levels of insurance education people will have had up until this point in their lives. In the case where someone has had the right coverage versus someone who is only now starting to look, how can these conversations change? I know we've talked a little bit about this already, but is there anything at this new retired stage that you would say?
I'd say, you know, at that particular age, it's really a matter of seeing, for example, let's say they had insurance all those years. Maybe they have some term insurance that's coming up for renewal, or they have permanent insurance and maybe it's not enough. You know, someone once said to me, you know, when you apply for insurance, you're going through the whole discussion, it always seems like it's too much. To answer, I guess, going back to that premium question, it's always too much. It might be too expensive. But once somebody passes away and that insurance money is needed significantly for the surviving people, they always say it's never enough. So, you know, there's that ideology to keep in mind. But going back to your question about, you know, at that particular age and stage, I'd say it's never too late. It's never too late to have that discussion about insurance, regardless of the age. Because as mentioned, there's many different stages of life where different types of insurance are needed. And in your 60s, that could be a great place to have the chat about, you know, going back to tax planning. And there's all kinds of different structures out there as well for tax minimization purposes and things I won't get into in this scope, but there are other elements of insurance that can be used.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's probably fair to say that not everybody in that stage, or even as they get even older, always know what their tax liability is unless they have that conversation with someone who can help them, right? And that's when not only the insurance conversation comes into play, but how are you managing your investment portfolio? How are you managing your, you know, your accounts and where your money is held?
Definitely.
Gifting to kids and all those different estate considerations. So there's a lot that goes into it that can play a role in getting to making insurance make more sense for someone. We know it makes sense typically regardless, but... So we have gone through the hypothetical, and although it's not all-encompassing, what would you say are the major takeaways people should make from this conversation?
I'd say the big takeaways are probably that if you have insurance and you haven't looked at it in a while, probably a good idea to review it. If you don't know what you bought initially and what you have, and if your policy is sitting in a drawer somewhere, you have to blow the dust off of it, probably a great idea to review it. And speak to somebody that's licensed in the business and that knows what they're talking about, so they can easily say, yes, you have the following product. Let's discuss what your current situation is. And does this policy match up to what you need? And if it doesn't match up to what you need, let's figure out how to make it match up to what you need.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a great way to end it. So thanks again for joining me, Jay. This has been a great discussion. And I hope anyone listening will reach out should they have any additional questions about the right insurance coverage for them. We always advise speaking with a licensed insurance professional before making these decisions on your own. Thanks again for joining us. This is Canadian Wealth Wisdom.